got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. James responds real quick before we get to our next guest. I'm not broken. I'm actually in awe of how a con man can dupe millions in 2024. But see, you call it a con and dupe, but like, why? How do people get to where they are about Donald Trump? And you dismiss it as some kind of like silly hijinks. And that's where you fail here. And you need to really think this out, James. I'm telling you, try. Just give it a shot, but you're not going to. Anyway, enough of that. Joining us now on the line here, always a pleasure, my friend Baron Coleman. Used to do a radio show in Montgomery, but the reason I wanted to get him on, he was on this show maybe a little more than a year ago and kind of called what had happened on Saturday. Baron, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Well, I just kind of, you called it, and I was like really uncomfortable with it, but I mean, it is what it is. And here we are today having to talk about an attempted assassination on Donald Trump.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to the audio, and I did last night from our appearance about a year ago, you can hear me dancing around it. I too was uncomfortable with it. I did say there was 100% chance they would not let him be sworn in as president. I still believe that. And I think yesterday proves why I said that. And I said, you know, if they can't get him in prison, if they can't keep him off the ballot, then I think I said something, they'll hope he has a premature death or something. The man is, despite being slightly overweight, pretty fit, I think by all accounts, keeps long hours, has great stamina. So the only way to sort of guarantee a premature death would be to orchestrate it. And I think that's what happened yesterday.
Well, I don't think they were like, hey, let's put a sniper on the roof and get Donald Trump. But, you know, if we kind of didn't put the best and the brightest on the scene here, clearly this Secret Service detail that was protecting Trump, it left much to be desired. And by being kind of lackadaisical about it, I mean, they had to be thinking, well, this, or maybe there's no way they didn't know what they had here when they assigned this detail to him.
Yeah, you know, it's the Tim Donaghy method of rigging NBA games. He said when you want the home team to win, you put an experienced crew on there. And if you want the road team to win, you put an experienced crew because they are not as swayed by the home crowd. That's potentially, Jeff, what happened here. Maybe they just put an inexperienced crew on. I mean, it looked like a Saturday Night Live skit after the gunfire erupted, the way they, you know, left him on the mark, right behind the podium, you would think. And I've listened to some Secret Service experts and sniper experts in the last 24 hours confirm my initial suspicion, which was, if somebody's shooting at a podium, the last place you want to leave that person, the protectee, is at the podium, you know, right next to the podium. And not only did they leave him there for, you know, the better part of a minute while he was covered, then they stood him up right in front of the podium. And that's obviously what an assassin believes is the best opportunity to take him out. You know, they confirmed there was a shooter dead. They've still not confirmed that was the only shooter. And I have deep suspicions that was not the only shooter. And, you know, how do you know in that moment, in that chaos, that the only shooter has been disabled and there's not somebody else there waiting to take a second crack? They stood him up. They left his head exposed. They left his upper torso exposed. They had what looked like a 5'3" girl standing in front of him, between him and the crowd. They allowed him to access the crowd. It did make for an iconic photo. But it put him in great danger by allowing him to access the crowd, pump his fist, get his head up over the agents. There was just a lot to me that was done wrong there. After the gunshot, prior to the gunshot, it's a total catastrophe, and the catastrophe of the sort that one seriously wonders whether incompetence can account for that level of failure.
Right. So much went wrong that And I think people have the sort of like Hollywoodificationized view of the Secret Service, but when it goes wrong to that extreme, was it on purpose, right?
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to have a Hollywood lionization of the Secret Service to understand that the closest access point to the stage with an elevated position should be covered. You don't have to have a Hollywood lionization of the Secret Service to believe that once a shooter has been identified with a gun on the top of a building, that the radio signal should go out to some sort of central command who's overseeing all of security. Instead, you have Barney Fife getting propped up on the side of the building by a buddy giving him a boost. And he makes eye contact allegedly with the shooter to hear the sheriff say it. I mean, I heard the sheriff interviewed last night. That one of his deputies was boosted up, made eye contact with the shooter, and then dropped from the ledge. And then moments later, there was gunfire erupting. You know, why was that guy allowed? Why was Trump allowed to continue to speak after the crowd had identified a shooter on the building, somebody with a gun on the building? Why did smoke not get deployed? Why was Trump not immediately covered and ushered off the stage into the beast, driven away from the scene? That doesn't make sense. If you go back and watch the feed, it looks like the two-man sniper team sits there and has eyes on him, has him under glass watching him up until the guy takes the shot, and then they decide to disable him. It looked like split seconds after the alleged gunman started shooting from the top of the roof that he was taken out. Why not take him out ahead of time? Or if you don't have the authority to take him out, why not get the protectee right off the stage immediately?
Like, that should have been the first. Get the president off the stage and swarm, and then try to hand, you know. But that is weird. And like you said, it's not a well-oiled machine at all. It didn't function like clockwork, and that's why we're having this discussion today. But my experience with the Secret Service, I mean, I've been to bunch of these presidential events over the years, and there's like a way you have to do things. If you're media, if you're TV, you get there 6 hours early, set up, and then they make you leave. They do a sweep, and then 3 hours before or 4 hours before, they start letting people in, and then 3 hours before they close the door, you can't get in. And I don't think that they had, like I said, I think the Secret Service, like a lot of law enforcement, Baron, is just stretched thin. And they just did not have the A team or even the B team there to protect Trump. And why not? Well, I guess we'll have to find out someday. But they put like the really, really the scrubs in to protect the president, former president.
Yeah, and that gets to the incompetence theory. And if that's incompetence, then the president is in grave danger every time he takes a breath, because if that's the level of competence that guards him on a daily basis, then every time he wakes up out of bed, he is in grave danger for his life. I choose in this moment not to subscribe to that theory necessarily. You know, I hold open the possibility that it was just gross incompetence, but I lean towards the fact that it was planned. You mentioned having been to these events. I've been to many of these events with Secret Service. Have you ever in your wildest imagination believed, Jeff, that you could get to an elevated position relatively close to a protectee with a rifle?
No, that's what's stunning about this. Even going to like see Ben Carson or Newt Gingrich when they were, or John Edwards or whoever, even then, the Secret Service was pretty, I mean, they were clearly not the A-team that was protecting the presidents of that era, but there was no way that they would have let their protectee that vulnerable.
No, and again, this was the building closest to the stage. It had a clear line of sight. It was elevated, and it was wide open. A $40 drone from KB Toy Store deployed above the venue would have spotted this guy. Multiple participants spotted this guy. Law enforcement spotted this guy. Yet the protectee, the president, was still allowed to remain unguarded, open, and vulnerable to attack. And ultimately he was. I don't rule out that there was an additional shooter. I have reasons for that, but I don't rule that out. And I don't know that we will ever be able to trust the FBI, who lied on FISA applications to spy on the Trump campaign, try to put Trump in prison multiple times over the last 9 years. The FBI who prosecuted Trump for garbage crimes that every president has committed. I don't know that we can trust this FBI to get to the bottom of this. And I don't know that we can trust that this FBI or the Secret Service or someone associated with the inside wasn't involved in the planning and execution of this event.
Well, tell me something, Barron. Now, you've maintained that Trump will not be, before, you had maintained that Trump would not be president again. Have you changed on that?
No, I'm more convinced after yesterday Trump will never be president again. I think they intended to make me 100% correct yesterday. It failed. I have no doubt that in the next 4 months it will happen again.
Really?
No doubt. No doubt whatsoever.
Then there's no way he can escape at that time?
I mean, unless he campaigns like Joe Biden in 2020 and doesn't leave the House, you know. But if he wants to get out and hold his rallies, which galvanize his base, which he's known for, he's famous for, he's good at, if he wants to meet people and energize the electorate, he's got to be out in front of people. If he wants to get his message out, this is the only way he can get his message out in a lot of places. The media doesn't transmit the messages he delivers. So the only way he can continue to campaign is to get in front of people. And yesterday it was proven that the people who are charged with protecting him are not going to keep him alive.
Joined by Barron Colbert here on the program. Barron, what does it look like? I mean, if they succeed, if whoever it is succeeds in taking out the president, what does the day after look like in America?
Well, I think it's easier to cover up an inside job when the protectee is dead. And what you have now is a pissed off survivor who is going to be more likely to push to get to the bottom of it. So it's possible that by them missing the shot by half an inch or whatever it ended up being, it's possible that will create a scenario where Trump pushes to try to get a better answer. But if they're ever successful and they are able to take him out, and I believe they will continue to try to do so, the day after, the media cover up immediately goes into place, and it's memory hold. And just like Trump was removed from all social media and they stopped carrying his rallies live, and people, prior to the last couple of months, I kind of forgot Donald Trump was a thing. I mean, they were so successful with sidelining any mention of the Trump campaign, the Trump administration, Donald Trump in general. He went from this ubiquitous, bigger-than-life figure for the last 40 years, you know, from the early 80s, to somebody you almost never thought about. And this is a former president. He didn't show up at events that former presidents showed up at. He wasn't invited, or he was specifically non-invited. I think it would be very easy for them to cover it up, move past it, blame it on some crazy, and say, well, this is the way it is.
What does it look like if he does make it to the finish line, is elected president? I mean, what is he going to do? What is America going to expect out of him?
Well, it's a big hurdle. He's got 4 months of campaigning left, and then there's that awkward, anachronistic transition period between the election in early November and the inauguration in late January. So you have this, you know, 80-day period or 75-day period where, you know, your job basically is to stay alive and try to cobble together an administration. There's a lot of time, even if he wins the election, to make sure he never takes office.
Well, and so he wins, and then they look at during the transition and doing something. I just think the country will react in a way very viscerally. And I mean, that is, I don't know, like civil war or at least some kind of turmoil in the streets, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mentioned this last time I was on your program when I predicted they would try to assassinate Trump. The problem with with predicting any kind of civil war is most Republicans, most conservatives have pretty good lives, right? We've got decent jobs. We've got families. We have, you know, we go to church. We have children. We go to ball games and gymnastics meets and school functions. And a lot of people don't want to throw all that away to go ride in the street over a lost cause. And, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, those are a bunch of ne'er-do-wells and druggies and junked out losers in their teens and 20s that you know, they don't have anything to lose. So they go out there and they riot and carry on and have fun. Conservatives generally don't do that. We have too much responsibility, frankly, keeping this country afloat to do that. So it's probable that no matter what happens, you know, there might be a few troublemakers here and there that cause a little problem. But generally speaking, I think life would go on just as it did after Kennedy was assassinated, and it became clear there was a cover-up. Life still went on. Reagan was shot. Life went on.
Well, if that does happen, there would be a Republican, right? Presumably to fill that void, because I don't think Joe Biden can win re-election. Do you?
I think if the vote was today, Biden would have a lot of trouble winning election. Obviously, they will try to cheat and steal the election to prevent Donald Trump from winning, because that takes care of the problem and it's clean and tidy. But, you know, if Donald Trump wins and he takes office, I'll be happy, but I'll be shocked. I genuinely, truly will be shocked.
Well, Baron, we appreciate you making time for us. We're out of time, but let's keep in touch.
Yeah, Jeff. Hey, appreciate you having me on.
Baron Coleman, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5.